the scripture's been chosen to read this day on the Lord's day is Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forth, and even forevermore.
Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. That's Matthew 26, verse 33. Wow. Those are pretty brash words by Peter, don't you think? In light of him really feeling the way he is, but of what Jesus had already said. Jesus said, you will all fall away because of me this night. All of you. Now, let me just say this. Jesus is saying this, and He is saying it prophetically, but he's not saying it pessimistically, meaning there's going to be a strong comeback. All of them are going to deny Jesus now. They're going to walk away when he's taken in, but they're going to come back. Don't worry about that. Jesus was speaking prophetically, not pessimistically. It reminds me of the story of Stephen Joubert. And Stephen Joubert is a professor of New Testament studies at the University of Pretoria in South Africa. And he said that his daughter was having the school prom, and that his wife had found this dressmaker and loved her designs. And so her dress was completed. He said that he volunteered to go pick up the dress with his daughter because he had just purchased a brand new car. And he said, I just love that new smell. He said, well, where do you get that new smell? You know, where do they get that new smell? But it's always just so, just right, you know. And he said, so I wanted a chance to drive my new car. So I volunteered and said, I'll take her. And he said, we drove off, and his daughter was happy, anticipating this new dress for the prom and him driving in his new car. And he said when they arrived at the house, he was just so, he said to his daughter, you just go in and go get the dress. He said, because that gave me a chance to kind of play with the new buttons, you know, the car. He said, as his daughter went in, the door closed, he started looking at his car and enjoying the smell. And he said a young man came up to his side window dressed in a suit, smart. And so he rolled down his window and thought that they were going to begin a conversation of commenting on his car. And the young man stuck a gun at him, pointed it at him. And he said, for a split second, I thought, this guy's smaller than me. You know, maybe I can take him. Until the two voices in the back seats, who had got two other guys, had got in and said, get out of the car right now. And he said, I got out of the car, and he said they got me to kneel down on the sidewalk with my back to the car, and he said the gun was placed at the back of my head, and he said I knew that it was all over for me. He said one of the guys shouted, shoot him. And he said, and then if you can imagine, he said the shock came over me, not that the gun was in the back of my head, but the shock that came over me was that my daughter might come out of the house and she might get shot. And he said, for some reason, the guy didn't pull the trigger and just got in the car and they drove away. Not only after the car had gone out of sight did my daughter come out. And he said, it was at that point in my life, he said, remember, I'm a professor of New Testament studies at the University of Berkeley. He said, it was only at that point that Jesus Christ truly hijacked my heart. He said, I could see I had been given a second chance. And now what was I going to do with it? Was I going to play this kind of game with him of great knowledge but no action in my life? When you read 1 Peter, it's difficult to know that this is the same guy who said he would never deny Jesus Christ, and yet denied Jesus Christ three times and then the cock crew, and then later on writes these words. in 1 Peter chapter 3, you just can't get it. I mean, is this the same guy? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense or give an answer, one translation says. He goes from denying Jesus three times to a book that has the theme, walk the talk. And he says, and if you're going to walk the talk, I wasn't then, I am now. But if you're going to walk the talk, there is a process that you've got to go through. And he says in 1 Peter, the process of becoming holy begins in your mind. You should... He shows us how to begin to think differently. And he says it will radically change your behavior when you think differently. Look at verse 13. Sorry, it says, therefore prepare your minds for action. In other words, in the light of the great salvation that has been lavishly poured upon me and upon you. He says there are things that we have got to do. And he throws out several commands here. He says, prepare your minds, keep sober, set your hope on grace. Don't be conformed, be holy. Peter wants believers to realize that even though we are living in a world of evil, we can and we are challenged to rise above. It's one of the things I'm going to touch on this week, but doesn't it just blow your mind the way our society has changed morally? I mean, it seems like it's almost overnight. Things that were once true and real and stayed and, you know, it's just been just swept away. Peter says, if you're going to rise above these circumstances and this environment that you live in, that you're going to, the motivator is your living hope. Listen to 1 Peter, first four verses, please. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. In this majestic hymn that's called a doxology, he gives six reasons that we can rejoice through suffering no matter what comes our way. He says, number one, our living hope. For those who have not embraced Christ, hope is something completely different to what he's talking about here. People that have not embraced Christ, the way they use hope, well, I hope I win the lottery, or hope my son straightens out, or I hope I can keep my job. But that's not the hope he's talking about here. He's talking about a living hope that is found in the salvation of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. He says there's a permanent inheritance here. Verse 4. So I've traveled a lot, and Sherry and I have been to a lot of different motels and hotels. And I guess the worst thing, the one that really tests my patience, although let me just stop here for a minute. I realize that everybody that I've been coming in contact with might be the only impression they have of me. And so I hold things within me if I get frustrated because I realize this is the impact I have. But imagine traveling all day. Maybe it's happened to you. You arrive 10 o'clock at a hotel and you give them your name and they look into their database and they don't see your name. And then you give them your confirmation number and they still don't have it. You know what's going to happen now. They are going to send you somewhere else. We have found another place for you, and it's probably some sort of dive. You know, I don't know, you know. And it's happened to me a few times. This will never happen to our reservation in glory, is what Peter is saying. Our heavenly reservations are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and are confirmed by his glorious resurrection. And there is no celestial receptionist that will ask, by the way, what is your name? Peter says we rejoice and we can rise above our circumstances because we have divine protection, who through faith are shielded by God's power, protected by God's power. And no matter what the cause is, what the disease, the death, whatever, our souls are protected and our souls are shielded and will go to be with the Lord. He talks about a developing faith in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials that come your way. And yet, And yet he is with us. Trials can be many. Trials can be of longer lasting than others. But the point is, trials does one thing that's positive. It humbles us. It causes us to depend solely on God. And then also it tests our faith or strengthens our faith. He goes on to say, if you want to rise above and if you want to walk the talk, then you've got to, you've got to have this living hope. So it means you got to think right. You got to take God into your heart. But when you walk the talk, it then produces an appetite of doing good and wanting to do good. You see, when Jesus said, follow me, he didn't mean on Twitter. He meant life. Produces an appetite for being good and doing good, meaning I'm going to God. I want to be the best husband and father that I can be. I really do. I want my wife to love me by the things that I do and the things that I say and the way that I behave, and I want that. And I want my children to respect me, and as they go through the community and as they go and meet people that where I work and that, they always have a good name of their father, mother the same. And we're motivated to do good works and good things. He says, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of those around you. You know, this day and time in Peter, the word silence meant to muzzle. And there was people that were saying, you know, those Christians, they're a rebellious sect. They have another king. They want to overthrow the government. And by you being a model citizen, and by you doing good and loving all and showing respect for all people, including leaders, whether they corrupt or not, you muzzle and you shut those people down. You know, to be a model citizen and not to be a social rebel or misfit goes a long way to having influence in your community, and then by giving you opportunity to share Jesus Christ. You know, when we go into a village in Africa, the first thing you better do is go see the chief. And when you go see the chief, and you got, because that's the protocol. Don't walk in there and act as if you're somebody. You know, I come from, you know. No, you go see the chief, and then after that, he will introduce you to the elders of the village. And once they give their approval, let me tell you, all kinds of wonderful things can happen. Like we drilled a well, and then we built a clinic, and now we've got a high school that we're going to build just because the chief gave his stamp of approval. But we did it right. And here come these Christians into a village, and what are they going to say? They're going to say, well, if we had any negativity, they've silenced us. And that's what Peter says. But he says something else too. It will shock the pagan crowd. He says here, I tell you what, you live for God and you live by this living hope. You will shock the world. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. That's the New American Standard. The New Living Translation says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. That was written 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you, it's as relevant then as today as it was then. What do you mean? Somebody might say, what do you mean? I remember you. I remember when you were a teenager and you'd be sexting, or you were in college and you'd be trying to hook up with as many girls as possible, or what about the, don't you have a joint on you anymore, you know, or the opioids that you started on, or what about getting drunk over the weekend? Doesn't that mean anything? What's happened to you? I'm shocked. They are shocked because they thought they knew who you, and that's what you were. And now you're still in your young years, and you've made a change. And what your answer to them is, it's not about growing up. It's about transformation. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I lived in BC before Christ. I live in AD after Christ. That's where I am. He says, arm yourselves. You know, we know what that means. He wants us to be a soldier, doesn't he? In other words, he's saying we're not put on this earth to vacation. Oh, there's nothing wrong with going on vacations, but what I mean is we have a purpose here on earth. We're not here just to travel and be part of a travel guide and show. No, we are here to share Jesus Christ. It's far more than that. One final thought. You are in good hands. Because that's what he concludes. He says, you follow this living hope. And I tell you what, it's going to motivate you to do good and be good. But I tell you one other thing too. It's going to shock people. But in all of this, you're going to be safe and in good hands if you walk the talk. He says in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time he will lift you up in honor, and give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you. We follow a sovereign God. I have never been one. The border between Zimbabwe and Zambia is Victoria Falls, and I've showed you pictures of that before. It's the biggest falls in the world. It's almost a mile long curtain of water that falls 300 feet. It's one of those pictures, I guess, like the Grand Canyon and other places you go to. The pictures will not do it justice. But between the two countries, there is a bridge that goes over, and the trains and cars can go over that bridge. But from that bridge, you can bungee jump. I have never been inclined to bungee jump. And we have had groups of college kids come, you know. They've come and they've talked about, oh, I read, I'm going to bungee jump, you know. And then when they get there and see that curtain of water falling down into that cataract, you know, and that water just churning, and that they decided they don't have enough money to pay for the bungee jump, you know. And I'm glad, because I don't want to. In fact, a few years ago, a young lady from Australia jumped around Christmas time. It's summertime there. And it snapped. And she fell into that cataract. Luckily, what was still tied to her leg went around one of the rocks. And she was able to pull herself up out of the water and then unwind herself. And she was okay, you know. I'm sure she has trauma even today about it. But still, the point is, I've never had an urge to skydive or to bungee jump. But really, that's what he's saying here, when you are in good hands. He's saying, are you willing to totally surrender to God Almighty? In other words, are you willing to jump out of that plane and know that God is going to be your strength, that you are in his good hands? Peter says, the boldness that I had before was just ignorance. But what I have now is far greater because of the living hope that is within me. And impossible things have been done in my life because of that. And so as we go through this week, that's what I want to do. I want to share with you the great glories that we have at our disposal in living within the realm of God's world, even though we live in this physical realm with all these things coming at us. But we can still walk the talk. We can still live the life. We can still go and take the plunge, as it were, and know that we are completely safe in God's arms. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that has been immersed in the waters of baptism. But it's so much more than that. It's the new birth. It's the rising anew. It's being transformed. It's putting myself on the altar every single day and say, God, I am a living sacrifice to you. And that's our invitation this morning as we stand and as we sing.